Okay.
I don't know whether you like titles for your Sunday school studies or not. But if you do, this I think is fitting for what did we just take 10 minutes collecting? Prayer what? Prayer requests, and here's the message title, Why Pray? We've studied prayer recently at different times, but why pray? You say, that's a strange thing to ask us, Pastor. But our scripture verse is Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 8. Well, let's go back. I'm going to mess up your note taking. Let's go back to verse 5 and start here. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be what? Seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Isn't that something for the Lord to say, you know, that's what good is a prayer like that to be seen of men? The acknowledgement that anybody may have given, anybody may have seen, that's the only good it's going to come. I'm not going to ask for any show of hands. But I wonder, could it be possible that some of us have, perhaps at a prayer meeting, perhaps in a Bible study or something like that, prayed to just kind of make an impression on those that were sitting around? Good heart search, I think. But if the answer is in any way, I'm afraid I kind of have, you know, I kind of felt like it was just expected of me, and we go on. They have their reward. But you, when you pray, you go into your room, when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Vain repetitions. Can you think of any religion that kind of puts a lot of emphasis on what I would refer to as vain repetition? Catholics with the rosary beads. Yeah. Well, I do know years ago we had that went around, the prayer of Jabez. But there still again, perhaps that could qualify as this vain repetition stuff.
With the Catholics, it's not just with the rosary. It's like their whole service. Every week they say the same.
There you go.
The same prayers. The same. It, every single week. I mean, we went to my aunt's funeral last fall, and it was just crazy that people in my family that have not been in a church in 30 years.
But they knew the words.
They knew exactly what to say and when to say it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's not the way that's not what the Lord wants for us, and that's what this is about. I want to know what the Lord wants for me. How about you? So, he goes on. They think, because they say it so many times, that's going to make an impression on him. But here is where I got the message title. Therefore, do not be like them, verse 8, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. That being true, what's the title of our study today? Why pray? If he knows already before I even ask, why not just, well, thank you, Father, and go your way? Why pray? Let's think about, first of all, some reasons for prayer. A, it is commanded. That's why we need to pray. It is command. We have been commanded to pray. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, we read, after the Lord had talked about the need for laborers to get involved in harvesting the lost, when he used that illustration, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few, what does he tell us? What's he command? Pray. You say, well, I don't know what to pray for. Here's something that we are commanded to pray for. We need to be praying that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers into the harvest field. I have to ask myself, how long has it been since I have specifically prayed regarding the fact that the Lord would, for instance, even with Nick down there at Pensacola Christian College, as the students are down there preparing themselves for life, how often have I prayed that the Lord would really just get a hold of some of those young people's hearts that are down there thinking they're preparing for something else, but that he would get them to realize, I want to send you to my harvest field. That's supposed to be something we pray about. I don't pray about that very often. I confess. Do you? That the Lord would call more to the mission field? I mean, that's not really vogue anymore, is it? We don't hear much about it. Pray that the Lord might reach some hearts of some here at our church for the mission field. Now, as we think back, this summer, in August, you know, we're going to be celebrating 85 years here. We have witnessed the Lord get a hold of some right here from our church. Call them to the mission field. Send them to the harvest. Bob and Pat and Oscar. Eric and Beth Karsnick. Lord called them to Africa. Mark and Nancy Fleming. They were here. They were members. But the Lord said, I want you. How long? Are there others? Ed Beeman was the youth leader here. But one day he sensed that the Lord wanted them to go to join up with a missionary organization. Others that perhaps I have forgotten about. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is another command. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says here, pray without ceasing. But my Father already knows what it is before I even, it's all right. I am to be praying without ceasing. I ought not to be giving it a second thought. Well, I wonder if I ought to be praying or not. Yeah, Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. Luke 21:36, one more, and then we'll move on. 21:36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. He was talking about the fact that the day is going to take heed that you don't get caught up with the affairs of life, and that the day of the Lord's return catch you unexpectedly, but pray that you will be alert and escape some of the things that are in store. Not only is a reason for prayer to be to recognize it as a matter of obedience, B, before I tell you, let me just ask you to contribute. What might you think would be another reason? Not only you pray because you know the Lord commands us to, but what might you think would be a good reason to pray? Intercession. Intercession? Okay. It's an opportunity to pray for others. Others. It shows confidence that you have in Him.
Speaking your heart to the Lord, even though He knows your heart, communicating with Him and having the faith that He's listening.
All right. I see that one, and I had that, and I'm going to just give you one here. Why pray? Because it is an expression of the heart. It shows my love by a desire to talk with my Heavenly Father. I know that He knows before I ask, but I want to pray because I love Him. And I want to share that with Him, of anyone else.
So that we learn how to pray.
Pardon?
So that we learn how to pray.
Confess our sin. What's that? You grow in your faith when you see the answer to prayer. Here's another one. I believe we pray because it is an admission. It is an admission. A, obedience. B, it's an expression. C, it is an admission of what? I need you. I can't make it on my own. I can't get through this situation that I find myself in. I'm between the rock and the hard place, and I am bringing it to you because I know you know the answer, and I know you know how to resolve this. Well, we could continue on. Going back to the text, your father knows before you even ask him. So isn't it a waste of his time and mine to pray? No. The Liberty Study Bible has this note regarding prayer. And it says this: prayer is not man's attempt to change the will of God. Prayer is not conquering God's reluctance to answer, but it is laying hold of his willingness to help us. That's what prayer is. It's not that I'm trying to twist his arm to have him change his will regarding our lives. And it's not trying to, like the heathen, they think if I ask enough times, he'll give in and say, okay, I'm tired of them. It's not conquering his reluctance, but it's laying hold of his willingness to help. Prayer is much more than merely asking and receiving. And the time that we have left, about 9 minutes, I want us to look in the verses that follow as the Lord gives us some ingredients, number two, ingredients for prayer. In these verses 9 through 13 before us here in Matthew chapter 6. Number one, in this manner therefore pray. Our Father in heaven. I'm in the King James, or the New King James, if it's a little different than yours. Hallowed be your name. As far as any ingredients are concerned, hallowed be thy name is adoration. Our Father, hallowed be your name. It is an expression of adoring him, who he is. In Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 and 35, listen to what an ungodly king came to realize after the Lord got a hold of his attention by relocating him from the throne to the field, and after he had feasted on grass, listen to what he came to realize. It says, at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven. This was after he lived like an animal out there in the field. I lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? Why did you do that? And we hear that here was this ungodly king who's, when he lifted his eyes to heaven, he realized who God really was, and he offered tremendous words of adoration. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are worthy. But not only do we see adoration in this model prayer, But we see here in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. What's that? That is, what's the Lord teaching us to do at that point? Pardon? Depend? Make a request? The petition. Here now, God wants us to, you say, well, I feel funny asking God for things. In the model prayer, and this is not just something to be repeated every time people get together out of habit, the Lord is showing what is involved in prayer. You start with words of adoration and praise to the Lord, and then there's the time to ask what you are asking, what you need. And in this case, is there anything wrong with asking the Lord to help you pay your bills and to put food on your table? Is there? Certainly not. Is there anything wrong for asking the Lord perhaps to provide another job if it's needed in a few weeks, if then the need? Or, Lord, I need to go back to work. Give us this day our daily bread. Petition. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 30. And it says here, oh, that is a lengthy portion. Why don't we just write that down, note takers? I've got about 4 minutes left to finish this. And I want to give you the pieces, but I'll just give you the references to go with it. With the petition, it's Acts 4, 23 through 30. Back to our model prayer. After the request, then what? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What is that? That is a what? 1 John 1:9, if we confess. That is what? If there is sin that needs to be confessed, confess it. Forgive us. Lord, I've failed you. I have sinned. So we need to search our hearts and ask him, Lord, are there things that I ought to be confessing to you? A reference, Ezra 9:5-6. And then, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here again is what? It is another request, another petition. And we could look at, here is prayer for spiritual victory. Lead us not into temptation. And usefulness. Lord, show me how I can best serve you, how I can bring glory to you. References to look at 2 Peter 2:9 and John 17:15. Finally, for thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever. Amen. What is that? It ends with how it what? How it began. Here is adoration. We begin, we offer words of adoration to begin, and then we begin to make our requests. We confess to clear the sin that would interfere with us. We pour out our hearts to him. We ask what we need. We express our desire to him. But then it's important for us to think about closing with words of adoration once again to the Lord. I close with our Liberty quote, prayer is not man's attempt to change the will of God. Prayer is not conquering God's reluctance to answer, but prayer is laying hold of His willingness to help us. Questions or thoughts? I trust this has been a helpful encouragement to you as we have considered something that hopefully we're very familiar with and practice often, this matter of prayer. Yes, we know He knows before we ask, but He wants our fellowship. He wants our involvement in it. It's time for the buzzer to buzz. Mark this one down. I'm going to let you go before the buzzer.